Okay, beside that, Kuf Ches, so we've been discussing the Maharal's critique of the Rambam and the Ramban's approach to Tamei HaMitzvahs, which certainly the Rambam is an extreme critique. As far as the Ramban is concerned, it's more of an adjustment and not altogether opposed to the Ramban's interpretation of the Gemara, that the person says, Akan Sipa Yagir Rachamecha. The Ramban's approach to Tamei HaMitzvahs, or at least to that particular mitzvah, but in general, is an agreement with the Maharal's, which is that the purpose is man. The ultimate goal, the ultimate purpose is man. The chiluk is that, whereas the Ramban says that the purpose of, let's say, sending out the bird is to increase within man that sensitivity and the sense of compassion, to change the person's perspective, the Maharal agrees that that is the ultimate result. It does have that effect upon man, but that's not why the mitzvah was given. The mitzvah is a gzeirin. We're going to talk more about that and understand on a deeper level today and finish the parak, Bez Hashem, what the meaning of that is, that it's a gzeirin. Well, the issue here, what the Maharal is worried about is, as I explained last time, not feeling good, but being good. And when there's a gzeira, just like when Hashem gave the Torah, the famous sheet of the Maharal, which is later on really explained by Meir Simcha, although he didn't bring the Maharal, but the fact that the Torah was given to us in such a way that the Torah was held, that the mountain was held over our heads, and that we were threatened. We were told, you know, Kofalim Hakigis, if we accept the Torah, good, if not, Shem Teikras, I'm sure that you'll be hearing from your rabbis and shavuos, that's the usual, you know, that's the drasha we'll have to do with that. So The fact that we received the Torah in that state of coercion and of duress, of oinus, is an indication that whether a Jew keeps Torah or not, whether a Jew keeps mitzvah, it's not an issue of how it appeals to him, of how it strikes you, how you feel about it, of whether or not, as we were talking about the last few weeks, whether that mitzvah does something for you, or you feel it is doing something for you. Here you've been involved in the midst of Shiluach HaKan for years, and you don't find yourself any more compassionate with your employees than before, or with your own children. That's not the issue. The Maharal's concern is with the mitzias of being good, the mitzias of being in accord, living in accordance to the gzeira, to the will of the Baruch Shalom, and the fact that one is meshubed to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the purpose of a mitzvah. That it has a matan schar b'tzida, halavai, good, that's beautiful, and therefore the Maharal is not arguing that the mitzvah is with the Ramban's view that the mitzvah will have that component to it. But the point is, it is forbidden to say that what motivated Hashem to provide us with this mitzvah is to make us into nicer people. The Maharal will not accept a view that speaks about Hashem's motivation in the giving the mitzvah in such a way, and for creating the mitzvah. And this is what he completes this on page Kuf Ches. Look, the Maharal says, I'm not arguing with the Chumash. It says in the Chumash all over that the purpose, that the mitzvah is a latov lanu. That the mitzvah, so if we keep the mitzvah, it'll be good. It will be good. Okay, you can't argue with that. And the Maharal says that's fine. Certainly, he says, it's a gzeira that we should be good. It's a decree. It's not a suggestion. It's a gzeira. In another situation where somebody wants to do you a taiva, they want to do you a taiva, so, and you don't want the taiva, so you have the right to say, I'm not interested in this taiva. I don't want anybody helping me out. I don't need your charity. I don't need your help. I don't need your concern. Al derech klum nasatalonu rak lekabel schar lo yubeinu v'lo schar bina. Like this view that many people had. You gave us the mitzvahs because you wanted us to be worthy and to be rewarded, So I tell you what, I don't want the mitzvahs, and I don't want the reward. If that's the point, if that's the case, that it's not the Torah's gzeira, but it's purely motivated by Hashem's desire that we should benefit in this world and the next world, so then a person can say, I don't want it, and I don't want the schar, and I don't want the mitzvah. Shadav is a eino. Raksha toiva hu ba'atzma gzeira al Yisrael. It's a gzeira al Yisrael, the same way that the Torah was given in such a way. That the Torah was given in the way of gzeira. And he brings in the footnote of the pasuk from Yechezkel, Im lo biyad chazoke, em lo chaleichem, im lo biyad chazoke. Even if you're kicking and screaming and you're saying, this is not good for me, I don't want this, it doesn't make me any better, it doesn't make me feel better, I don't want it. When it says in Chumash that Hashem has commanded us to do these mitzvahs so that it should be good for us, it's true. The same way he held the mountain over our heads, he decreed that we will be good. That doesn't mean that we'll feel good or be more compassionate. It means that we will do the right thing. We will do the compassionate thing, or we will do the right and good thing. Not that it's not a question of how I feel about it. Again, halavai should have the desired effect, and most likely it will. But that's not the point. That this is even against man's will. That brings us back to the concept in halacha that we were talking about last time. The Maral says, the mitzvahs were not given for you to enjoy. Not even to enjoy spiritually, not to enjoy physically. The mitzvahs were given to you, given for you to do. Now, if you enjoy them, that's great. And if you shakel and you close your eyes, that's even better, if you feel good about it. But that's not why they were given to you. Tav hana. Mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. Kiloi nitnu al das hamakabel. Ubishvil kach hamitzvahs hem ol al ha'adam. Therefore, mitzvahs are an ol al ha'adam. Mitzvahs are a burden. Mitzvahs in general are difficult for a person. They're difficult. It's not a hana, which doesn't mean to say that a person doesn't get a geshmak to do a mitzvah, but it means it's a responsibility and it's a challenge and it's difficult for a person. Look at footnote 81. So he says, Svarazu tu'una bir. This has to be explained a little bit more. Svarazu tu'una bir. The whole v'sof kol sof ha-mitzvahs nitnu l'tayvus adam l'hanoso. He says, look, after all is said and done, the mitzvahs are good for us. It's good for us in Lamaisa. It's going to be good for us in this world. It'll be good for us in the next world. It's just that the mitzvahs are not given with our consent. The mitzvahs were not given to us with our consent, and they were gzeiros. Why is it that the fact that we were not, asked, the fact that these are gzeiros, that these are decrees, but if the ultimate result is good, then why is it considered to be an ol? It should be that it's in mitzias, it's a hana. The same way that the parent that made a decree that the kid has to go to the dentist, so then maybe it's only after many years that he realizes where some of his friends are suffering, have terrible pain and problems, and he doesn't. So even though his parents' gzera, the gzera to go to the dentist was a decree that he might have, it was not with his consent, his parents forced him to go to the dentist, but the maisa, he had a tevis on off from it, he benefited from it, that he's healthy, he's okay. Mitzvahs were not given with man's consent. We're not given with our das. That means that in a certain way, the mitzvahs were not given mitzvah ha-makabel. That means that the one who's receiving the mitzvah, the one who is observing the mitzvah, has in some way less of a connection. The makabel has less of a connection. The mitzvah comes mitzvah ha-nois, and I'm going to explain this more in a minute. Shari mohus ha-odem hidaito. The essence of a human being is his das. If a person resents and resists something that he's coerced to do, even if it's great for him, even if it's good for him, the fact that a human being, the essence of a human being, is his koach of das, if something is forced upon him without his das, it contradicts the very essence of who he is. It becomes something that's almost unbearable. That's why you'll have people that davke, it'll have to be v'nahapechu. It'll always be v'nahapechu. It'll always be fakert, be the opposite. Because a person so desperately wants to exercise his das, his awareness and his understanding, because that's who he is. That's him. He is. He is a creature that is able to reason and is able to exercise free choice. Therefore, one naturally resists something that is given to him without his knowledge, something that, that he feels is forced upon him. He can't stand. If the Baruch Shalom wouldn't tell us to do certain mitzvahs, we would be running after them. But the second the Baruch Shalom said it's a mitzvah, then we have all kinds of problems. That's how it is. Because one feels that you did something without my das. And when a person feels that something took place without his das, he feels that something took place without his presence, without him. Because he is his das. That's what a human being is, das. Vim daito, ena mala merida meuma, behechrach shehincha oisig bedover, shetzada makabal ena kaveakan. We understand that if something is being done without man's das, that in really what's happening is that man is not participating in it. Or his participation is nominal. It's very small. His participation is almost meaningless. Because if his das is not there, then he lamaisi is not there. Like the Baal Shem HaKadosh said, that where a person's das is, that's where he is. Where your thoughts are, that's where you are. And that's a very deep concept. So if I'm not involved in the process of thinking this through and accepting it, that means that in the truest sense, that the makabel, that the one who's observing the mitzvah, is not mishtaptiv. It's not really just like the kid who's sitting in the dentist chair. The kid is not really there. The kid's not there. Who's there is the angry, resentful child that doesn't understand what, you know. You can tell him all day long, this is good for you, this is good for you, this is good for you. But Lamaisa, he's not there, because his das is not there.
Isn't there a level of das that is there in agreeing to do something that you don't fully understand? It's not that we're supposed to do things without using our bechira or ignore our bechira. Our bechira is to do things even that we don't fully understand. It doesn't mean that we have no shutma.
Bechira and das is not necessarily the same here. It's true that, I'll give you an example. if somebody's avodas Hashem is, you ask him, tell me, my friend, why do you light a Hanukkah menorah and lahavdil, and you decorate a Christmas tree in the same house? So tell you the truth. I want to just make sure everything is covered. I don't want to have problems when I die. I want to make sure that I cover all corners. So certainly. He was a cautious and in some ways intelligent fellow that used his bechira to make sure that he's okay. But as far as investment of das, it's true that one can be a boicher, one can choose, because one realizes I stand to lose if I'm making the wrong. I just want to make sure that I'm covered, and I want to choose that. Many people, as you know, the Yiddishkeit in many ways are not more than that. Not that Chalila they're going to decorate a tree, but the Yiddishkeit is, listen, you know, drabonins is one thing, the rices is another thing, and the minig is another thing, and the main thing is, I want to just try to, you know, I don't want to get in big trouble. That's not called avoid of a das. That's just a bechira, in a certain way, not to be a baruchah, in terms of my das, in terms of investing intellectual and emotional and spiritual energy into something. So it's true, you're right, that a person, there is some das, because a person says, I am aware of my choices, and I am choosing to go along with this. Because as many drushes as you're going to hear about the mountain being held over your head, you can still say, I don't care. Unless you can say, I don't care. No one's dropping it on you these days. So you could say, I don't care. So the fact that a person says, I don't see any mountain, but there might be something up there, and I don't want it falling on me when I'm 120, right? I don't want to get hit with this thing. Therefore, I'm going to do it. That is a bechira, and you're right. There is a das, but it's very little more than the instinctive das of an animal to preserve its life. It's a das of self-preservation. Is that really called das? Is that called participation? That's not really participating. That's more of a spectator than someone who's participating, as per what you see in a lot of the shuls and a lot of that. It's more spectator sport than being a participant, because there's a lack of das.
we refer to it as the geschmack before in a certain mitzvah could exist in what the Maharal is describing also in an approach to all mitzvahs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that level of das is more, or else...
The Maharal certainly, and we're going to talk about that. The Maharal is very excited and anxious that one should learn more and understand more and realize how each and every mitzvah is creating a certain type of a chibur, a certain level of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that motivation and that excitement will bring more and more of a geschmack, more and more of a geschmack into the mitzvah, into how he performs the mitzvah. What the Maharal is concerned with is, why should I do this at all? Why should I do this? And if the cheshbon is because Hashem's going to make me into a good guy, so then there is that funny thing, he says, inside of a person that could be saying, if that's what it is, if it's my choice, if in other words, if the makabel, if the point here is purely the makabel, if it's purely from my perspective, then from my perspective, I personally don't feel a connection, or in the words of many people, it doesn't do it for me. This doesn't do it for me. But instead, the Baruch Shalom gave the mitzvah in such a way where there wasn't al-tzad ha-bechira, that the mitzvah was given in the way of a gzeira, of a decree, where the das of the makabel in accepting it is practically non-existent, but certainly the das of the makabel in performing the mitzvah and increasing over the years in involvement, that's the main question of our bechira. Not whether we do it or we don't do it, but how do we do the mitzvah. That's the main question of bechira.
Yeah, is that the Ramban and the Rambam, are they saying that that if you don't like it, you don't have to do it? They're not saying that either. So they also agree, but they're saying that ultimately it's for the development of the human being. So I'm not sure how the Maharal is arguing with...
Well, the Rambam is saying... No, the Rambam is saying is that the Baruch Shem has Rachmanis on the bird. You know what I mean? He doesn't hold from that opinion in the Gemara. So he holds that it's because of the Baruch Shem's compassion on the bird. So let's not even talk... The Rambam is in a different Bechina. So we're talking about the Ramban. Of course the Ramban agrees... The Ramban says that sof kol sof, it's not a matter of choice. Sof kol sof, these are the mitzvahs and yichayev. But why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the mitzvah? And what's the purpose of the mitzvah? So the Ramban says the purpose of the mitzvah is latoiv lanu, and it's for your good. And therefore, according to the Ramban, the human being is a major player and a participant in the giving of this mitzvah, since it was given for him. Like Lamoshul, a friend of mine was telling me that he had a relative of his that was building a house in Borough Park. Yeah, knocked down a house, and they're putting up a big house in Borough Park. You know, one of those jobs that they're doing. So there was an alti. You know, sometimes you have a person doesn't have anything to do, and one of the things that you'll find sometimes a person will do is go out and this alti was standing every day for 3 or 4 hours watching how they were building. Every day, he's watching how they were building. And the owner, this guy was getting a little bit, he didn't say anything. What's the matter? There's an old man that's watching. It doesn't. But so he was okay with it. Even the guy standing there with his hands behind the back, the whole day, looking like this. But then eventually, after a few months, he started to give instructions about certain things that he liked. So then the Balabas already felt, the Balabas said to him, this is, sir, in all due respect, I don't mind, you could stand there all day long and watch. He says, but you're already giving instructions to the guy what to do. So the guy, the Alta, you told him, listen. He says, it seems to me that you're building this house for me because you want it to look a certain way for the people on the street. So I feel that I should have a say. He says, I feel that I should have a say in the window and how. I'm also a bald over here, right? Because it's not for you, it's for me. You're trying to show off, Bekitzi's saying. So I also deserve something in it. So there's a chilek like this, that it's one thing for a person to be an observer, to watch something amazing that's happening, and it's another thing to be a baldarva, to participate in its unfolding. Now, what the Ramban is saying, the difference between the Ramban and the Maharal is that the Maharal is saying that you should know that the Baruch Shalom is the Balabas. The Baruch Shalom is the Balabas. And since the Baruch Shalom is the Balabas, that this mitzvah, it's not your cheshbon. It's not your cheshbon of why and how and so on. And it's not that factor that's the main point of what's being accomplished, making you into a better guy. That's not the point. That's a side benefit. The Ramban says that is the point. The point is making you into a nicer person.
But you still don't have a say, according to Ramban.
According to Ramban, it's true. It's true. But that way that a person looks at it, it's mitzad makabel. This mitzvah is for me, and it's given to me, and it's for me. It's for my betterment. And the Maral says, remember, the Maral does accept the Ramban. But what he's concerned with is that worldview of a person, that way of looking at mitzvahs, can in some way ultimately wear down the person's sense of being of standing under the mountain, of standing of kofal harkigigas, and it could create within the person more of a feeling of that the mitzvahs are for my benefit and they're directed to me and for me and latoivli. Whereas the Maral is saying that no. The point here is that it's a gzeira, mitzad the noisein ha-Torah, from the one who gave the Torah, it's a gzeira, and the mountain is still being held over our heads. Let's finish this footnote. So he says, So the Maral is saying that the mitzvahs are given mitzad ha-noisein, v'yesh behen mishum tzarech gavova. That there's some great and higher purpose beyond my being a nicer guy. There's something in the universe that's taking place. There's something that's called the Tzarech Gavoah. There's something that has to do with the crown of the king himself. It's not just me. You see, my whole life of looking at the mitzvahs is me. So it's my personal struggle. But here, the point the Maral says is that it's not just a question of your personal issues and struggles to be a better person. It's the entire Malchus is at stake. It's not the same thing. The whole kingdom is at stake. The whole universe is at stake. Everything is at stake. But if your way of looking at it is that, look, the Rebbe wanted me to be a nicer guy, and I'm working on it, then I have to be better with this mitzvah. I'm not so good with this mitzvah. Even though it's true that you have to do it, but as far as what's motivating you to do it, it's self-centered. It is self-centered. Which the Maral doesn't accept. Maral says that it can't be that the mitzvahs are self-centered. Even though they do benefit the self, they're not self-centered. The center of the mitzvah is the Borei Olam, is the creator, not the human being. And that creates a different mindset. That creates a different way of looking at the mitzvah. Let's just finish the note and we'll talk a little bit more about it. When something is happening, not because of man, it's not the focus here is not man. The focus is Hashem and the universe, whatever that means. Naturally, you feel that that's an all. You feel that that's a burden. You feel it's a tremendous burden. Now it's also exciting because everything that you do has this cosmic significance to it. It's exciting, it's thrilling, but it becomes something which I don't see myself in this as I don't, and therefore it's an all. This wasn't my decision. It wasn't with my consent, and therefore I sense that there's something that's descending upon me from outside of myself. But that's not really true, because really the mitzvah is from within oneself, because the Baruch Shalom is within oneself.
Isn't the expression
"Oh, this
is true"? It's not supposed to be a natural thing.
Absolutely, that's why Mrs. Lavla
Hennesnitno. I'm saying even a step further than that. It's not a mitzvah sichli that if I can understand the aimuk of why the Rebbeinu Shalom wants me to take the lulav, it still is an aisle.
Oh, very good. Okay, so we'll talk about that in a second. You're right. So this he says that's a lol kia inyan lo nasim b'chinoso, because this inyan is not taking place mitzidi. It's not coming from me. It's coming from him. So therefore, it's an all. Even though, like you said, Ramesh, even though I've made a decision, I'm going to do it. But it's sort of a decision, okay, what can I do? What can I do? I'm going to do it. Elamachmas ha-noisen. Harishabiyachas la'odim nechshu adorviz el-la'ol, ki ha'inyin lo'nasem b'chinosel l'mechanis z'ulosso. And kol dorvish ha'nasel la'odim mitzad z'ulosso hu nigda k'dorvishu al ha'odim. That is already defined as something which is upon the human being. V'ini Hashem nitzav alav. That's how a Jew will. V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav. It's upon. The Rebbeinu Shalom sits on the Jew. V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav. that the Baruch Shalom is sitting upon you. Because why? Because it's not something which we feel intuitively, that we feel that I might not be emotionally attached to this, and it might not make me feel good, because it's imposed upon me. It's something that I have to do. Umilas ol va'al b'nais chada b'ksehinim. So the word ol, which is a burden, and the word al, upon you, it comes from one word. Earl and al. Anything that's al, you feel that it's an ol. Anything that's upon you from outside, you feel it. It's not something that's coming from within. You sense that as an ol, as a burden. How does every child feel about school? Because he feels that it's always an ol. Even if it's the best teacher and he has a good chevra. But the teva is that if you give a kid, unless you have some, it'll be a modern kid that'll say, I'd rather go to school than take off. I mean, there is such a thing. I heard once or twice a kid says, but that's sometimes a symptom that the house is not, there's something wrong in the house. But stam, even with the best teachers and the best class and the best chevra, self called self, it's not me CD. Someone else is sending me here. And therefore, the fact that there's an al creates an ol. That's how it is. That's the teva of a person. Wherever there's an al, there's a sense of an ol. It can be more pleasant than ol. It's a very nice ol. But the bottom line is that it's an ol. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's like, there's nothing wrong. Adrabba. What the moral is saying is, thus is thus. That's how a Jew is makabel al malchus shamayim. So he says, we're a lohal and lamed base. Shagam sham is barevis svarizu sha'afa pishi Yisrael kiblus a term mirotsen. Achoil v'daitam lohaisa kavasbidav v'lav hochi a term hoisa nitenis lan balkorcham. Even though it's true, ultimately we said Nasev and Nishma. But ultimately there was an element there that's beyond our das and from a world that's above our das. Everything in Torah is al ha'adam because we don't get it. We don't get it. we don't understand it. We don't fully comprehend what the Baruch Shalom is talking about. We don't know the whole. We don't look at the whole picture. So therefore, it's always al.
Don't we find that even Chazal that they create certain halachas like Darsh time at the crow?
Right.
Like that seems like when the Talmud speaks out in Yonim, it's like with Pshat. I mean, if you're telling that there's a Tzar Kavayim, there's a deep thing with Maman Adas, and how could Chazal do that?
So Darshin and time at the crow. The Tam here is there's no question that the Chachamim and the Rishonim were seeking ways. We're seeking ways to bring a person closer to Torah Mitzvahs, with the understanding that if we don't engage the das of a human being, then there could be a harchak, there could be a cooling off, there could be a distance, and we have to do that with our kids when we're teaching in yeshiva. They have to feel that there's a relevance, and they have to understand that there's a relevance, right? In the old days, the Rebbe could just be that ol, that's al hayeled. And that's it. Be quiet, and then it's Olive Bays and Gending. So, what do you think? You think back in Poland and Hungary. So the kid was asking, "What's the deeper significance of the olive?" What do you mean? The deeper significance is this piece of wood in my hand is the deeper significance. The deeper significance. And in a certain way, we still do that with children, just not with a board. So we do it in different ways. We regiment them a certain way. But if you're going to try doing that with a 20-year-old, with a 25-year-old, you're not going to be able to. So. All of that is true, and therefore Darshina time of the Kra, and to be able to find, and every time there's an Asmachta, and every time there's a Remez, and all of the Torahs are what? All the Torahs are to deepen one's feeling of, it's appealing to one's Das. It's true. But the bottom line is that when it's a difficult day, and nothing makes sense, and all the stuff that's, all the Das is in shambles, Because in your life, God forbid, everything is falling apart. The bottom line is, what's going to get you up in the morning to go to shul is not any of the taimim. It's not any of the psukim. It's not any of the drushes. There's only one thing. It's the chelek eloka mimal. It's the fact that you are a servant of the Baruch Shalom. And that there's a piece of the Baruch Shalom inside of you. That's it. So all of that, it's all geshmak. It's all delicious. And for sure. We learn this. And the Chachamim and the Rishonim, 100%. And the Moral is not arguing with any of that. And the Moral himself does it in a million places. Who's a bigger Dairish time of the crowd than the Moral? There's no one. Elamai. The Moral says, listen, Chavra, before we go on to Kabbalah Satar, which is what the whole Sefer is about, Kabbalah Sotar. Before we go on to what it means to be a, to, before we go on to Kabbalah Sotar, you want to know what it means to be a Yid. First, let's just set this up. This is what it means to be a Yid. The bottom line is to be a Jew is to be Mekabel Amalchus Shemayim. Gemara them. And you get one Yid that's a Mekabel Amalchus Shemayim, and take him with all these fancy people, with all the fancy svaras. The one who's Mekabel Amalchus Shemayim, Tmimus, and the Muna Pshuta, is in the higher Madrega of Avoda. And that's what we said, that Lemaisa, history has proven that to be true. So, yeah.
I've been sitting here for a few weeks, and I peeked ahead, so you have to forgive me, because I don't... What's been bothering me...
I'd be more pleased if you learned all this from the Moral.
No. The one thing that's been bothering me is where is Harva Onish in this whole discussion, and particularly because Shaluch HaKan is probably... one of the only two mitzvahs where it actually...
Right.
And it hasn't really... In all this discussion about the Ramban, the Rambam, the Maral, nobody's... And I could give you a whole construct that from other svarim that it really doesn't need any of this. And just based on Schar V'Onish, you have a reason for the mitzvahs.
Schar v'onish, the Rambam had very low regard for schar v'onish. You know that.
Yeah, I understand that.
We understand that, but the Rambam, the Rishonim, they consider that to be the avoda, the way of serving Hashem of the uneducated and the children and so on, which is that ultimately, if schar v'onish is the ultimate motivation for a person, then we're dealing with a level of spiritual and emotional immaturity, which we need to use, and all of us are using it, and all of us are playing into that. But as far as the ultimate reason for keeping a mitzvah, Schar V'Onish is not it. I mean, the Balatanya by davening. He all of a sudden start to scream out that I don't want your Gan Eden, I don't want your Elam Haba, I want you, I only want you, you, you. Now for us, he said, "Oh, this is maybe you should reconsider, Rabbi, or maybe you know if it's available, maybe you wouldn't mind giving splitting up between all Jewish people and Tanya's Elam Haba." But this is something which when he said I only want you, it meant that for the Baal HaTanya, the ultimate purpose is Dveikus, is being attached to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And is that the schar that he was seeking? That's the reality, that's the life that he was seeking. It wasn't the reward that he was seeking, it was the life that he was seeking. Like most of us, we're just waiting for the big payday, like we're waiting to cash in. So we're collecting, we have our drawers, and there's a little mitzvah, and every once in a while we look into the drawer and we say, yeah, that was a nice one, you know, I went in the middle of the night, you know. That was a nice one. And we look over here, oh, this wasn't bad. And we look at our little mitzvah, right, and all the nice things. And we're saying, okay, the day's going to come, so then I'm trading in my tickets. I'm trading in my tickets for a nice spot. But this is a different hasaga. It's not that it's not true. But if that is the underlying thing that's motivating a person in Avodas Hashem, so his entire Avodah is not very different from how we tell our children, if you be a good boy, you'll be a good girl, I'll give you a lollipop, I'll give you this and I'll give you that, which does not create an attachment between the two, the one who's doing it for the person who's giving the lollipop. It doesn't create a bond or attachment. It might create some sort of a dependency, but not an attachment. It doesn't create an attachment. You see, here's the point. What you know, when I was looking at this footnote, so I jotted down. There's a morale in the Gevurah Hashem. Let me read to you a sentence from the ninth parak of Gevurah Hashem, which I just wrote here on the side when I was learning this. The morale writes this quote from the parak test in Gevurah Hashem. It's kedai to look at the parak, but he says over there, Ha'odam hayudeya dover v'hasagoso. The morale writes that a person who knows something, who understands something, it's with his hasaga, he understands this. Hayidiyah hazos, hayidiyas ha'odam. this piece of knowledge that man, that this human being has grasped, this is called Yediyas Adam, man's knowledge, man's understanding. Vehu shehu mamin bo yisbarach, but the Jew who believes in Hashem, zeh shehu mitzad Hashem yisbarach, that belief is mitzad Hashem, that's from Hashem. And this person becomes completely drawn after and attached to the Bereshis. Therefore, certainly his madrega, in other words, the Morale says that the madrega of the Mamin, of the believer, is greater, much greater, than the madrega of the Yodea, of the one who knows. What does that mean? Because he says that anything that I know, it means that it's something that's mitzidi, mitzad ha-makabel. I grasp this. Oh, because I grasp it, therefore my das is engaged, and my excitement, my awareness, my understanding is engaged, but it's all me. It's me, because I got this, I get it. I get it, and because I get it, that means that the ultimate motivation here is the I. Whereas the Morale says, that's a yodeya. Which is fine after your mamon to build up your upon your emunah. Yiddish, that's all tachlis of being a Jew. But the Maral says, but a mamon emunah is mitzido. Listen to his words. For who shehu mamon bo? Let me read the whole thing again. Ha'odam hayodeya dover ba'asagoso b'idioso. When you know something, you grasp it intellectually. Hayodia hazoyis yiddias ha'odam. This piece of information is man's knowledge. It's Yediyas Adam. But for Hushu, who ma'amin by Yisbarach, but when a Yid is a ma'amin, Zeshu mitzad Hashem Yisbarach, that is something that is not initiated by man, it's not something that comes from man. It's something that comes from the Chelik Elokam Yimal, from the Neshama. Asher ma'amin, it's him, not me. Therefore, certainly his madrega is an ahaya madrega. In other words, if I do a mitzvah and the mitzvah appeals to me, it makes sense to me. It's to make me more compassionate. It's because it's nicer it's nice to the birds or the tzedakah is nice for the poor guy. It appeals to me. Then what's happening is that mitzvah is now mitzad, in a certain respect, it's mitzad me, the mekabel. It's almost it's not my creation because I didn't think of it, but it becomes my baby. It becomes my, which is very interesting. People like that. But people like that because people want to feel that it's me. It's me. In other words, I understand this, therefore they'll read all these nice things and you'll try to explain the tam for this mitzvah, the reason for that mitzvah, so that, this one strikes a chord in me. In me, this strikes a chord. And therefore, you know what? I like this mitzvah, it strikes a chord in me. And I'm gonna do this mitzvah. It's something that resonates within me. I feel it. It strikes a chord. That's when a person, the Morale says, is his yediyah is mitzad ha'adam. But when a person is Mekayim the Tzivu, we have Hashem, is Mekayim the Mitzvah Hashem. Why is that? Why is he Mekayim? Not to be Mashlem myself, or because it resonates, it strikes a chord within me. But a person's Avodas Hashem is Mitzad Hashem Yisbarach, Mitzad the Noisein, Mitzad the one who's giving the Torah. So that person's Avodah, is the Morale says, is infinitely greater than the one who's the Yodeya, where it's him. Because this person's Avoida, the Mamin's Avoida is infinite. That Mamin is the one who's going to spit in the face of the crusade who's telling him to convert. That, not the Yodeya. Because it's interesting about people. People are very proud of what they know. And they'll stand up for what they know. But the moment that their life is threatened and all they have is a piece of information and something that comes from within me, but it doesn't have a divine source. If this information is something that appeals to me, but it doesn't have a source in something which is forever, beyond my life, then I have to be crazy to die for this. What am I, crazy? to die. This is, I'm going to die for this cause. I'm going to die for a cause, like, you know, campaigning. I'm campaigning for animal rights. I'm going to, you know, I'll be shot to death and give up my life on mice and nefesh for mice and nefesh, so that you know, some, so that they shouldn't bother this mink or something. Some mesivas nefesh, chashtus, an Irish guy. It's a person who does it. He's insane. But when a person's avodah, when a person's service of Hashem is divinely initiated, when it comes mitzad the noisein, when it comes mitzad the Rebbeinu Shalom, that's what emunah is. Then my capacity to fulfill it is infinite. It's infinite. It's not limited to my knowledge, because, you know, whenever there's a negiah, then all of a sudden your intelligence becomes a little bit clouded. Correct? You understand? Sure, because there's a negiah. So you might know something. You might know something, and you might be certain of what you know. But if your life is being threatened, then that certainty is not going to be able to take you beyond that limitation. When a person's avoida is an avoida comes mitoich emuna, not because of seichel and das. In other words, the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that any intelligent person eventually is going to understand that there's a God. There is a matter here of intelligence. There is a matter of logic. And there are great logical, intelligent people, even non-Jews, who spent their lives logically demonstrating the necessity to accept that there is an intelligent creator. That's something which is a Baal Seichel. A Baal Seichel can come to that maskana. It doesn't have to be a Jew. Any Baal Seichel can come to the maskana that there's a Boyer Olam, that there's a creator. A Baal Seichel. The Chiddush of a Jew. The Chiddush, what's a Chiddush of a Yid? The Chiddush of a Jew is that his recognition of the Rebbeinu Shalom does not come from intellectual awareness. It doesn't come from knowing. The Chiddush of a Jew is that his awareness of God comes me etzem nishmasai, from the essence of his neshama. It's something which is lamal mitam vedas. It's something which is beyond anything that is understood or can be explained rationally.
Perhaps it doesn't have to, but does this stem with the mice of the blade plague?
Which mice of the blade plague? You mean which mice?
Came back to his father. What did you learn?
Oh, you mean by what's the difference there? What did you learn by Kotsk?
Zizok Ichvais. Does that mean?
What does he mean when he said Ichvais? Yeah, I know the mice. So when he says Ichvais, so when he says they say I know. He wasn't talking about intellectually. If that's what you mean.
So, no, what I'm saying is meaning that this what he's saying in the words of Hashem is that the spark comes from the Rebbeinu Shalom, not the hakara comes from the Rebbeinu Shalom.
Right. It's not when I use the word hakara, again, it doesn't mean intellectual. You're right. It's a good ha'ara. It doesn't mean intellectual perception. The hakara means that feeling inside of me, even though there's no mountain that's held over my head, that feeling inside of me that tells me that there is a mountain held over my head. I can't be without this. I can't do without this. This is my metzias. So when the fact that emuna comes from the etzem haneshama, from the fact that the neshama of a Jew is a chelik elokom yimal, is a portion of God Himself, kivyachol, that avoid that comes mitoich emuna, is something which is, this is what the Maral is saying, is something which is infinitely greater than an avodas Hashem that begins with the self. This is what I find personally so distasteful in a lot of the modern, I'm talking about among the Orthodox, a lot of the, you know, I don't want to say the word Torah, that would be giving it too much credence. You know, once you see that there are Orthodox rabbis that they're psychoanalyzing the Ovis and the Imohos, you know, and they're not only, they're already Darshin and Taima Dekra. When you see these people, that they think that they figured out Rochel Yemeinu. There's a certain Orthodox rabbi, I mean, he's Shomer Shabbos, that he wrote an article, and in the article he said, this was brought to me by one of my students, and I told him that you're not allowed to keep such a thing, it has to be burned. that this rabbi wrote an article. In the article he said that if Rachel and Yaakov were alive nowadays, they would need major marital counseling. An Orthodox rabbi, Shami Mitzvahs, wrote this. They would need marital counseling. So, you hear that? Did I see the time of the crow? No, it was Melech. If the whole Torah and all of Mitzvahs is Mitzad Makabel, it's Mitzidi, so why shouldn't I be able to, just like the guy that's standing outside the apartment in Borough Park, so why shouldn't I be able to, psychoanalyze Rachel Imenu? Why not? Because the whole Torah and Mitzvahs is Bishvili, Umimeni, and it's what appeals to me, what makes sense to me. Therefore, you'll find people coming up with the craziest things. So somebody was asking me, a wonderful, wonderful chassan was asking me, that there was a certain rabbi that told him, if you're uncomfortable and you might be embarrassed, that even though your wife is in need, that you're allowed to hand her something directly. You'll have to hand it something directly, because it might be uncomfortable, it might be embarrassing. And that this was said in the name of an Odom Gadol in Eretz Yisrael, which he never said, of course not. And the fact that there's somebody that's telling this to a chassan, this is all Darshin and time of the Krav. Why? Why am I saying this? It's vibal that the whole Torah is to make me better and to make people more compassionate. Who could be masking to embarrass a nice Jewish woman like that in public? Would God ever want you to embarrass your wife in public? God wouldn't want you to do that. Therefore, this rabbi comes to the conclusion, and he has the nerve to quote an Adam Gadol, he comes to the conclusion that since it doesn't make sense to me, because God gave the mitzvahs for me, and it doesn't make sense to me that God would want my wife to be embarrassed in public, therefore, I'll be din, in this situation, I'm allowed to do this. I'm allowed to do it. All these chashbainas, you know, that take away from us our tmimus, our simple way of serving Hashem.
Well, and people aren't so compartmentalized. Like, the problem is, you know, people aren't just, I keep thinking of Rav Dessler's Nekudas HaBechira.
Right.
And it seems like people are really a confluence of both, the intellect and the emotion. And
correct.
The things that are given, whatever, let's say Shabbos or whatever. So I don't know if I keep Shabbos on this side of me, that solves my essence, or that's just, it's rote almost. You know, it's hard to know. And then you get to a certain point where it's in the kudos of the chibur, we have to take a stand. I don't know.
That's when you find out what you're holding. That's what Dessler's saying. You're right. You're right. I don't know where. I don't really know where I'm holding until I come to the next Kudus of Bechira. I don't really know. It's hard to know. It's hard to know. It is. You're right. When a person, for Baal Tshuva, it's much easier in that respect, because every single thing, along the way, there was a certain step forward, an opinion that was made. But we're brought up in the world of Yiddishkeit, and it's hard for us to know.
Wasn't it? If I'm over and there, that means that then the essence wasn't.
It means zishtus.
Right. So that means the essence, you're still.
That's why I don't feel good about it. There's something, in other words, in your, when God forbid a Jew's over and there, that means that he set himself into conflict with his essence, with himself. True. He's in a state of conflict with who he really is. And that causes the uneasiness and the anxiety and so
right,
on.
So it's not so black and white, like it's the Ani versus the Hashem, like. When you do something, it's always.
I'm only presenting it in terms of a pure typology,
okay.
But you're right. The human being is much more complicated, 100%. So it's hard for us to know exactly. But this is the avodah now. When a person learns, if a person learns chassidus, particularly if a person learns Tanya and Chabad chassidus, strong and good, and you begin to become more and more in mezucha magid. You begin to more and more to understand the inyan of bitl hayesh. What does it mean, nullification of self? What is the Tanya talking about every page? Bitl HaYesh. And all the Nisim of Chabad. And it's they didn't make it up. Right? They didn't make it up. What does it mean, bitl? This avoid the mitoch bitl. And what does bitl mean? When that's properly understood, then a Jew realizes that ultimately, as I spoke about a few weeks ago, all of my avoida comes back to Avraham Avinu, who was told Leich Lecha Me'Aretzecha, and that means that his avoidas Hashem was not mitoich, wasn't an issue of what he experienced and what he knew and how bright he was and how intelligent and so on, but there was a gilui that took place. Something was revealed. That's what Maimon Har Sinai is all about. Something was revealed. I don't mean special effects. I mean within the Jew, within the self, there's a revelation. That encounter with Hashem Yisbarach that's taking place inside each and every one of us, that really is the underlying point of being a Jew. And we have to work on developing that. We have to work on developing that, our whole lives, developing that.
You're thinking also of the Rambam and Hilchos Kirush and the Kofen of Sashem Rotsani, yeah, in terms of fitting
that's
in here with this Maral.
Sure.
Like it starts off.
100%. Because what the Maral, because what the Rambam is saying over there ultimately is that There is the internal knowledge and there's the external knowledge. My superficial knowledge is telling me I don't want to divorce this woman. But my neshama knowledge,
and that's the all.
Right. And then, is telling me that I have to. But I have to. And you're right, this is not simple. We're complicated. That's why we have a lot of Agmas Nefesh. Those Jews that they're moon, I'm not, and it could be the biggest genius in the world. Do you think that the Vilna Gaon wasn't as tame as the Giyid? The Vilna Gaon? Was it Tamim B'Shalim? Was it Tamim B'Shalim? You don't think people like to paint this picture of the Chavetz Chaim, like he's this sweet little unassuming person that he was anything was fine. He was good. The Chavetz Chaim was a genius. The Chavetz Chaim was a profound person of unbelievable intellectual depth. He chose this Mid of Tamimus, which we're going to talk a lot about. And which it's Kedai, if you look in the Nesivas Olam, the Maral, where he has the Nesiva Tmimus, where he talks about what does it mean, Pashtus and Tmimus? Was there any more complicated, from all the Talmudim Baal Shem Tov, Leis Mandapoli, Rabbi Nachman Breslov takes the cake, right? He wins the contest of what's going on. He wins the contest. The deepest, the most complicated, was the Tzaddikim themselves said. The Tzaddikim themselves said about Rabbi Nachman, from all the Talmudim Baal Shem. And yet, what's the Rabbi Nachman screaming about every single Torah? Emunah Pshuta. Pashtus, Pashtus, Pashtus. So it has nothing to do obviously, the Rabbi Nachman himself was a complicated person, and he understood complications in this conflict between the mind and the heart, between Yediyas and Emunah and so on. He understood. Because what he was teaching was that Pashtus is a tachlis na'avodas Hashem. To come to that madrega of Tamimus and Pashtus, which is what the Baal Shem Tov said before he died, is that after all my madregas and my emunah pshuta is that's the ikkar of my life, is my emunah pshuta. That's what he said. If all my madregas, the ikkar is emunah pshuta, and which the tzaddikim said that what distinguishes, what differentiates between one tzaddik and another is the madrega of emunah, not yediyas. In other words, you would say, if somebody asks you what difference is there between this tzaddik and the other tzaddik, you would say that in terms of the madregas of yediyah and where he's holding. But that's not true. The tzaddikim said, it's brought down in the Slalom all the time, he brings down from the tzaddikim, that what distinguishes between one, what separates between one tzaddik and another tzaddik, is not any bechina of knowing, it's a bechina of emunah.
You can't measure that, that's why. People don't know that. I mean, you can't measure that.
Right. Right. It's not tangible. But it comes out in every single tefillah. It comes out in how that person relates, and how that person relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he relates to other people, how he deals with situations when he has nisyonis in business. When he has an Nisoyan in business, there's this unbelievably tremendous kid, a student of mine. He's a bright guy. He's learning Eretz Yisrael now. His father came to Eretz Yisrael. He's involved in a certain business deal, which the kid looked into a little bit. The father's dividing up certain things and giving out to the children some of this stuff. Each chelik is $2 million. So the kid's about to get a chelik of $2 million, and the father says, not bid. And the father's business. Elo what? He found out that there's a certain legal issue, that the father's avoiding something with taxes in America, and there's an issue here of something that's illegal. And he called me up. I spoke to him yesterday. He called me up and he said, he told me the whole ma'isa. So I start saying $2 million. I'm his rabbi. I'm starting to ask. A lot of money. And I'm thinking for this kid, he could learn it, you know, and he could be all right. And I'm thinking, and he says to me, look, Rebbe, he says, if it's not the halacha, I'm not doing it. And his fault's going to kill him. His fault's going to kill him. He says, if it's not al-pidin, I'm not doing it. Tell me straight, what's the halacha? Just like this. He says, I don't want I don't want any bedevids, I don't want any coolers. I want to know, what does Hashem want me to do? No? That tmimus is motivated not by svaras, not by ideas. It's motivated by that clarity of a person that comes from the heart of a mammon. And when it comes down to it, when it comes to nisyanus like that, without emuna, if it's based on yediyah, it's not going to manage. It might manage for 100,000. Depends where you are. But it depends, whatever your price is. But when it comes to the mammon, since why? The mammon's capacity to stand up to the nisayon is infinite. Because his emunah comes mitzad Hashem. So therefore it's infinite. Whereas one's awareness, one's intelligence, and one's understanding of a certain inyan is finite. It's limited to what I understand.
So if someone doesn't have emunah, it doesn't have a chance. There's no way to build it up. Or
every Jew is b'teva mammon. Because every Jew is a chelik l'kami mamish. So all we have to do is to uncover that. All of our avodah is to uncover that.
You get to that through knowledge or logic. So it's all based on
that's
that we can control. So.
That's not so posh. In other words, my knowledge, learning, and engaging the mind can have and does have an enormous impact upon enabling me, facilitating that revelation of Emunah. But ultimately, one begins to find out only when one goes through Nisyanus. In other words, let's say a person goes through, God forbid, a difficult time. One, you have people that they're not religious their whole lives, and something, God forbid, terrible happens, whatever, they go through a certain inyan, and they start going to shul, they start saying Kaddish, and then slowly they become, you would say, I'll be Svara, this guy lost his father, you would think that other Rabbi is going to be angry, he's going to be less religious, he wasn't religious, he's going to be less religious. So how come you see so many times it's not like that? Because, like it says in the Zohar Kodesh, that sometimes you have a piece of wood and it's not catching fire, so you have to clap and you have to hack and you have to, you know, until it catches fire. So there is such a thing that you see that by a Yid, that by a Jew who is complicated, that the ideas are standing in the way of that simple truth. The ideas that come from the Yetzer Das Tevera are standing in the way of the Yetzer Chaim. But you know, sometimes when that person's Eitz Hadas falls to pieces, and all that he believed, all that he thought was true, and all that made sense to him, is falling apart. So then, what happens is that B'delei's Breira, without his own choice, all of a sudden the mountain is held over his head again, and all of a sudden he's taken to that place within himself that he never knew existed. And it's interesting. It's interesting. But our avoid is that we shouldn't have to wait, God forbid, to get a clock. Our avoid is that there is a way, of course, to develop our emunah, but to release our emunah, to expose it, to reveal the emunah. And learning is certainly part of that. Why? It's not because of the intellectual gain. It's because when I'm learning, I'm being misdabik to Hashem. When I learn a piece of Torah, then my mind is being attached to the mind of the Rabbi Shalom. That experience, even though I might not feel anything, the experience of the meeting of those two minds, of a human mind, of a finite mind with the infinite mind, has a way of drawing out my emunah. Therefore, when one learns, the more one learns, certainly it affects. The more one does mitzvahs, even though you don't feel like doing it when you do a mitzvah, why? Every single mitzvah is tapping into that emunah. When I do a mitzvah, that means that I'm turning on that electricity. So every single mitzvah has that way of affecting, of releasing some measure of my emunah. And therefore, when a person, there is such a thing that through the ma'aseh ha-mitzvahs and through the physical act of doing the mitzvah, like the chinuch says, that a person is going to be nispol, that a person will be affected, his emunah. It doesn't mean that it creates within you emunah, it means that it reveals your emunah. That's the mistake. That's why a lot of people growing up, they think, I don't believe. And because I don't believe, I'm looking for something that's going to create that belief within me. So that's what's interesting. So you take these people to these seminars and you show them, you blow them away with these codes and stuff, right? But that never makes them into Ma'aminim. That never makes a person to a mammon. If a person's entire Yiddishkeit, if a person's entire Yiddishkeit is from some gematria that worked out, you know, or if his entire Yiddishkeit is from is because you know, in the, because every 49 letters, you know, this letter is reappearing in certain sequence. If that's a person's entire emunah, that's not going to go anywhere. What's the purpose of all that kind of stuff? The purpose of all that kind of stuff is to give a clap and to give a hack to what? That to something, to wake up that dormant emunah and to pull away some of the schmutz. So sometimes, you know, you shock a person and you're able to get through some of the peels, and then you're not, those things don't create belief in a Jew. There are many, many people that sit by those things and they don't end up putting on tefillin. Despite the way that they make it seem in the PR that everybody that ever goes to any of these things becomes, you know, a Rosh Hashiva or something. It's not true. It's not true. I'm in this for many, many years. I mean, I'm not in that particular line. But that's not true. That's not true. What it can do, it can have an effect without hurting a person. It can have a similar effect to when a person goes through a tragedy. When the external shell that's just the ideas is shattered, and he has to dig in to the reservoir of Emunah. So it's possible that when you can attack someone's ideas in such a violent way as those codes do, which I'm not saying that I always agree that it should be done, by the way. Okay, I have different shitas in this Indian, which better not to, you know, talk about Barabbas. But I'm not so sure that that's the way to get to a Yiddish neshama. I'm not so sure. Personally, I think that it's better to just give Charlton some kishke, personally. But I understand that there are certain people that for them, that they establish their posture in this world as being intellectuals. And therefore, they've committed themselves to certain intellectual constructs that their lives depend upon. So you have to make them uncomfortable. Right? So you begin to take them apart. You begin to take them apart. And you deconstruct those constructs, and then the person is left a little bit naked. And then the question is, now what? Now what? But if there is nothing after that, you take off all of those ideas, if there's nothing to follow up with experiencing Yiddishkeit and doing mitzvahs and emunah pshuta, so then all you've done is you've confused somebody. You've stripped him of what he's been holding on to, but you haven't gotten him dressed in anything new. You haven't gotten him dressed, so you have a difficult situation of someone that's left in that matziv. The levushim are the machshavadi b'maisa, the levushim that are the levushim that come from emuna, and the emuna is mitzad the noise, not mitzad the makabel. And when you can bring that Jew who heard the codes to that realization, to that truth, that Yiddishkeit is from the Neusein, not from the Makabel. Anybody that's teaching kids nowadays knows that this is a struggle. This is a very, very big struggle. Because the kid in school will say, my wife was just telling me she had this problem recently, that a girl will say, this is ridiculous. You'll say something about Taras Mishpach. She's teaching Taras Mishpach. So a girl will say, this is ridiculous. This is just ridiculous. Now, how do you fight against that? What do you do about that? This is ridiculous because her ideas have all been developed by years of television and radio and music and so on, and friends, all the little yentas, her friends, and then you're coming and telling her Divrei Elokim Chayim. You're telling her this is the Ratzon Hashem. So she's almost as bad as that rabbi that psychoanalyzes Rachel Imena. And she said, this is ridiculous. God couldn't. God, what do you mean? God wants. God, that's what God said. I don't believe it. The rabbi said that. God doesn't want. God says I can't pass something to my husband. God says I gotta put something up when we're eating at the table. I gotta put a vase or something. That's what God wants me to. That's ridiculous. God couldn't want that. Because this person's whole way of looking at Torah mitzvahs is me. The same way that you see this itself. When people in America have become less and less idealistic, they stopped serving God and they started serving themselves. I'm not sure when this happened exactly, but there's still a very big oivdim in America. Very big oivdim. If you think you can't find like a Polish chassid, everybody's looking for some like real Kutzke chassid, right? A real Polish. It's not true, except they're serving themselves, not the Rebbein Shalom. But with all the avoid of a Polish chassid, with all of that charifas and all that tmimis, but it's for zich. That's all. It's for him. But with the same intensity of a Jew. So the same intensity. It's a pachad. With all that intensity of a Jew, but not him. He's serving himself. And therefore, since he looks at Torah mitzvahs, that's why it used to be that, you know, so now you can tell a kid to learn Gemara. It's such a hard thing when you learn Gemara, what's that, a shaykhis, and a few, and he's shaykhis, and a few of shaykhis, and you have to get some Rebbe, that, like this Rebbe, you're going to hire a Rebbe now, he's got to be like an entertainer. He's got to come up with props, and he's got to come in, like, you know, with videos and machines, and he's got to say, all right, kiddies, you know, Schleimach and Batalis, here we go. And you gotta show him a movie, we're gonna bring in actors, and we're gonna do this whole thing. And may Kulei Hai, you know, you get him to think maybe, you're gonna fool him to think that it's Nageya to his life. But everybody really knows that it's not. So why is he learning Mishnah Schleimach and Batalis? So everything now we have to do in our teaching is to convince him it's for you. But we're losing it. Because Be'emes, what we need to teach the children is how to be Oivdei Hashem Yisburach. That it's for him. But you know what the problem is? There are a lot of problems. I'm sorry that I went off the moral. I apologize. But you know, but I'll tell you what it's to understand the moral. I'm not stop saying the felt. But the problem is, who's going to explain that to the children? Who's going to talk to the kids? Who's going to talk to the kids? When someone would come into contact with the Rav Moshe Feinstein, so then you saw an Eved Hashem. Everybody's becoming nowadays so cynical, and then when kids begin to see that they even people that they look up to, that they also have cheshbon that's not purely for Hashem. So who's going to tell them? Who's going to teach them? What does it mean to be an Eved Hashem? What does it mean bitl hayesh? Try to put Tanya into the curriculum of the yeshivas. No? So who's teaching about what it means bitla yesh? All they're teaching is yeshus. They can zut akut svare. This one can say, this one can outsmart, this one schlugged up the Rebbe. Ah, the Ramban holds like me. You ever hear in yeshiva? The Ramban holds like me. Ich halt. Could you imagine a Chassam Sofer talking that way? I hold that Rashi, in this point, Rashi is not clear. I hold. You know, a person could throw up from hearing these things. So instead of teaching Bitla Yesh, the kids are being, it's bad enough that the whole atmosphere in America is now Yeshus and Yeshus and Yeshus. Oh, but then in learning also, it's not with Anivas. It's not with the Bitla Yesh. It's not to know what the Rebbein Shalom is saying, is to be able to say a svara and to hear and to be able to outsmart. And so who's teaching them Yesh? Who's teaching? By the girls, there's more of an edelkeit. By girls, there's more of a pashtus to Avodas Hashem. With all the complications, there's more pashtus. Because the nature of what they're learning doesn't engender such a type of thought. But in the yeshivas, you know? Therefore, I'll tell you an interesting thing that I said when I was growing up. I said this in shul. I mean, you probably remember shul. I don't know when I said this, but a while back. But when I was in school, remember I said to this chaver. So I went to in the yeshiva there. So they had one shiur for the guys that were like not holding in learning. The guys that weren't learning, they weren't good in learning. They had one shiur for them. And there were like 25 guys there. The highest percentage by far of the kids from our high school that came out to be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs and Bnei Torah from that class. So it's I said it there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I said it there. I don't remember where I said it. This was a Lubavitcher fellow. It was a Lubavitcher fellow. I remember he had a horrible twitch, the guy. And he had a smile on his face from here to here. And he used to go outside, we used to see him in the winter. He would take the guys like on Tiulim. He'd be marching there singing Ufa Ratsta, who knows? Marching out with the guys like into the woods by Hillside Avenue. By Holliswood. Marching out with the guys. and he would schmooze them, and he'd turn off the lights, and he'd start telling them, "I'm Isa," and we were laughing at these guys. They're like Yislos, they're shaitan, they can't learn, they don't know this, they don't know that. These are all the guys, every one of them now was daf yomi and learning, and this from his chaver. And not only that, but I might have said that even the other rebbeim didn't sit with him. He sat with the kids, the rebbeim wouldn't sit with him. It's not this Windsor, you know, he's like, it's not such a big lamdan. But I'm sure he knew how to learn. I heard he knew how to learn. From someone else told me that, but his way was bit layesh. And what it means, bit layesh. And when you're such a person that's truly humble, and you're waiting to hear what the Baruch Shalom has to say, and not what I can say, so then children are inspired by such people. A child wants to, a child grows from that. He's makabel the Torah. But when you subject the children to people who, to sometimes even the rebbeim who themselves are fighting like chickens and arguing and vying for positions, so then what's going to be? And the whole Torah is not to find out what's the truth of the Gemara or what the Baruch Shalom is saying, but only what I could say, what I could impress. So then what's going to be? And therefore all we could do is to try to be honest with our children and with ourselves.